Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we sing about the impossibility of you failing and the great possibility, Lord, of all things being possible, of course, meaning scriptural, Lord. We realize that it is true, and it's in the same category as Brother Branham said, if we're not bride, there's a bride out there somewhere. And Lord, if we don't see all the promises manifested that we have personally, then that's something to do with us, not with you, Lord, because we know that every promise that has been manifested, some individual has received it, but greater than that, Lord, every promise in this book, which is epical and for a season, has been manifested, Lord, and we believe we're now at the end time. Help us in the meditations of the message that the prophet brought us, Lord, in this little sermon of God identified by his characteristics. We pray, Lord, you'll give us the understanding and the ability to delineate upon them, and may it cause us to grow in grace and knowledge. Real faith, God, real faith, real knowledge, real revelation, a reality all the way. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, how does this seat, this chair work? Let me see now. Come on, Bill, you're a mechanic.
It winds around.
Is it winding?
I think it just winds up, doesn't it?
There's a thing there. That's better. I knew something like that would do it. That's good. Just in case. And this is the case. All right, thank you. Now, the message, of course, God is identified by his characteristics. Now, first of all, we took last week characteristics, distinguishing traits, features, qualities, or peculiarities. So the characteristic is really a distinguishing feature. That's what it really you're talking about, something that is personal to or pertinent to or actually definitive to the very thing you're talking about. Now, these characteristics help identify because they're peculiar to certain things. The Brother Branham used the illustration of two birds, a yellow hammer and a jaybird. He said they look quite a bit alike, but they have different flight patterns. And so this opens the field that many things, you know, may look alike, but there's a difference. There's a difference in birds, just the way they nest. Some nest in an open field. I guess the meadowlark does. I saw a robin build a nest on the ground one time, which is very strange. Others go to wooded areas. Others go to reeds where there's water and so on. Now, the characteristics deal with appearance and conduct and quality. Now, your thought of quality there is that that's the actual substance itself. You take, like, there's hard coal and soft coal. There's sulfur coal, and there's coal that doesn't have much sulfur. There are trees that are hardwood, soft wood, and some that are knotty, some that have twisted grain, and others have straight grain, like a cedar tree. Just take an axe and almost falls apart. There's the balsa. There's the balsa tree that's very soft and very light wood. So there are characteristics. The characteristics then are deep, you know, actually make up a picture, or they tell you what that certain thing is like. Now, the idea that Brother Branham is presenting is that there are certain features that never fail to identify the object or thing if one is only aware of those features or characteristics. Now, that's what the idea is. There's a way to have a never-failing identity of an object if you really know the characteristics, but you have to know them. And those characteristics, if known, positively will differentiate. In other words, like he said, the jaybird and the yellow hammer. So the thought comes, what about God? He is spirit and cannot be seen, so how can Jehovah be identified to us so that we can know for a certainty? How are you going to know for sure it's God? Because he cannot be seen. On top of that, it speaks of two spirits in the last day, one of which is the Spirit of God. And those spirits are so close in their characteristics as to deceive all but the very elect. So how can we know for sure? Well, there's a way that you can tell. And, of course, this way that you tell is in Deuteronomy chapter 18. And to tell the truth, this in itself is something that a person would not really think too much of. This would not be a tremendously great identifying mark. And it can't be in this hour, because they're going to run afoul of it. The verse 15th verse, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of the brethren like unto me. Now that's speaking of Jesus, Moses talking. Unto him you shall hearken, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. Now he's talking about the great prophet coming. And of course he's talking about any prophet also in a sort of a subtitle. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise him up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and I'll put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. It will come to pass, whosoever will not hearken unto my words which he shall speak in my name, I'll require it of him. Now there's the premise that is set. You're running into the understanding here now of how that you're going to have an identification with God. As Brother Branham said, God has certain characteristics. Really, I might call them certain premises, certain principles that he's laid out. This is what you go by. But the prophet that shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet spoke in presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. All right, now you've got a vindicated man here that's a prophet. And you're going to have then a vindicated Christ. And that vindicated Christ, of course, then could never change. No matter if he's in the human form, pillar of fire form, whatever form he's in. We'll talk about that a little later on. So, all right, we've got a premise laid out here before us. The way to be sure, and it becomes, as I say, hard at the end time because of the two spirits being so close. Now, Brother Branham illustrates immediately concerning the characteristic of God by using two nations, one of which was Israel, one Moab. And you notice they had identical worship because they had the altars, the sacrifices, and so on, and they had prophets. But with Moses' case, and not in the case of Balaam, God in a pillar of fire was only with Moses, and Moses only had the word of the hour, for Moses had Abraham's promise, Balaam did not. Now, the word of the Lord then will be with one person. I don't care if there's 100 prophets, it'll be with one. Like Micah and 400 other prophets, there was one that the word was with. And so there'll be one prophet, like Brother Branham said, always only one major prophet. That has to be. That on the scene at a time. I suppose it may be that there could be an overlapping in some area. I'm not quite sure of how that works out with the time of Jeremiah. But anyway, there's one to whom the word of the Lord comes, and that person will be vindicated, and the other person can come right close, but the word of the hour will not be with that person. Now, so we find that a characteristic of God is that he uses the prophet to reveal himself in the supernatural through the prophet. That's what he does. He reveals himself through the prophet by means of the supernatural, and then he vindicates, of course, by the supernatural, what the prophet tells him. And that is God speaking to the people. Like it or not, that's God speaking to the people. That's Deuteronomy. That's the premise. That's set up. You can't change it. You've got to go by the word of God. Then he continues and uses the fact that Jesus was a prophet, or the prophet, the God prophet. God in the prophets, formerly, but now this Jesus is the God prophet. But the pattern is the same. A proven word ministry and a voice of God to the people. Now that's what you're not up against, but that's what you're looking at. Now, we'll go back here then to page 8 and start a couple paragraphs back from page 9 where we left off at. Now, that's how God dealt in sundry times. The Bible says in divers manners. That's various manners. He spoke to the fathers. It's actually in the fathers. I mean, to the fathers in the prophets. And though through the prophets is right too. But in his last days, through Jesus Christ, his son, he speaks. Now, he's leveling this thing to the point where you've got to recognize that we're going to be dealing with Jesus Christ, the Son. We're going to be dealing with the Son. We're not changing anything from the Scripture. Now, he says the next verse, now Jesus said in John 10:37, if I do not the works of my Father, then don't believe me. Now remember, he's talking about a ministry and a message. Now, you can easily separate the two from your minds, and you can begin to throw verses like this into a plurality or groups of people. But he's making this very definitive. Very, very definite. Now, the Son is speaking at the end time, and he's going to have a ministry that qualifies him to speak, and the only way he can speak is through a human vessel, and he's not here as a human vessel if he should speak in the last day. Like that's, now, this is why I say this is pretty hairy for anybody that that doesn't let his mind go and believe the Bible. If you want to believe your own Bible, then you're a perfect candidate to be fooled. See, they said, you're a man making yourself God. Now, this is the people that said, let Moses speak. Let a man tell us. See? Now, that's going to be God to us. Now, they really get thrown for a loop when God himself takes on a human form. But, you know, God says, I'll raise up a prophet unto you. And God is the original prophet, so where could they get an interpretation that would forbid God from raising himself up? See where your mind goes when you're denominational. You can't be fluid. You can't let your mind go. He said, if I do not the works of my Father, then believe me not. Now he said John was a bright and shining light. You like to walk in his light for a season. Now John said, I must go out, he must increase. He was the light of the world because he was the vindicated, identified Word made flesh. Now, John wasn't. Jesus was. See, he was God with us. That's Emmanuel. The prophets were... Now, watch carefully this paragraph 60. The prophets were God with them. Jesus said so. He said, if you call them who the Word of God comes to gods... And that's right. That's not just the Psalms. That's the premise. How can you condemn me when I say I'm the Son of God? How can you make me condemned? So, where the word that's been spoken by God is vindicated, then that is God making himself known by his characteristic, which is the fulfilling his word. It needs no interpretation. It's already interpreted itself, proves what it is. All right, let's go over it again. See, where the word that's been spoken by God is vindicated. Now, I don't, that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where it's coming out of. See? Then that is God making himself known by his characteristics, which is a principle, how he does things, and man agreed to it. Fulfilling his word. It needs no interpretation. It's already interpreted itself. Proves what it is. Now, you'll notice in here that this, in Brother Branham preaching, this is a plea to the people to recognize a true prophet in the word and now manifest it. Now, what he's doing, so many times he's doing the same here, is in a veiled way, he is presenting William Merriam Branham, the Elijah of this hour, God to the people. And he's doing it in a way that people just can easily walk by it. It's one of the biggest curves he ever threw. It's how God does things. All right, we're starting. Paragraph 61 is where we start tonight. Just the same as he said, let there be light, there was light. You don't have to say, well, what did that mean? It means just there it is. That proves it. It's already come to pass. All right, God said, I'll raise up a prophet, vindicate him, you listen. Hey, man, I better listen. But what's going on here? That's what the Bible says. Then he narrows it down to an hour or an age, which is fine. We'll get to it. Now, Jesus said that if I do not the works of my Father, in other words, if I don't have the characteristics of my Father, see the works. In other words, No man spake like this man, and no man could do what this man could do. That's what Nicodemus said. He said, I've had my eyes on you. He said, you're different. He didn't recognize him as Messiah for quite some time. He said, you're different. He said, man's words won't do what your words do. God's got to be with the man like you. He'd come a long way, but he hadn't come quite far enough. But he did, my understanding. So this is the characteristic. They identify my character, who I am, if you don't believe it. They identify my character, pardon me. If you can't believe me, then believe the identification that God has given. If my character doesn't identify my position, then don't believe my claims. Jesus began to do and to teach. Prophet will say something, it'll come to pass. If you're right with the word of God, then you listen to him. See, you get it tonight. How many understands? Raise your hand. See, if my character does not identify who I claim to be, then if you can't believe me, why, just believe the identification of the character that I am. Now, that's the place you start. Now, back in Matthew 12, they said, that's Beelzebub. But they said, how is this man doing these works? They said, the devil's doing those works. Now, you see where you go when you go off the word. Here's a group of people that said, we don't want to have anything more to do with the pillar of fire and the voice of God. We're going to raise up a prophet. And the promise of Messiah was going to be a prophet. He was also going to be God with us. That's your identification, God and a man. Now, here he is, fulfilling every single claim. Doing, speaking. And they said, he's a devil. Forget it. And they've got the same thing right today. People call Brother Branham a devil. John 14:12. He that believeth, Jesus said, on me, the works that I do shall he do also. Now look, he that believeth on me, a true believer, the works that I do shall he do also. Notice, in other words, like this. He that believes on me shall be identified by my characteristics, the works. Now that's what he did. He said, if I don't do the Father's works, then don't believe me. Now he's putting believing right with the word. He's laying a foundation for faith in the word. And the prophets and the Father spoke to the prophets, and that was their characteristic identification. So it was with Jesus, saying he can't change, and promised it to him that believeth. I put that, watch that singular there. My characteristics shall I do in him just as it did in me. And if I do not the works of my Father, then don't believe me. But if I do the works and you can't believe me, then believe the works, because it's spoken of, it must be. Now, John 14:12 here, you got to watch pretty close. Reading from End Time Evangelism. He says, same thing today when you see his work. Now, we've already seen under witnessing the appearing of the Lord. Now, remember, appearing and coming is two different things, words, to appear then to come. Now is the appearing. He's already appeared in these last days, right here with us in the last few years. Now it's a sign of his coming. He's appearing in his church in the form of the Holy Spirit, showing it's him, because people can't do these things that you see the Holy Spirit doing. So that's the appearing of the Lord. Now remember, it's spoken both places, appearing and coming. Now right there, you see, he uses a plurality. He says they. But now listen, knowing one's the end time. Now I want you to know this is sure. And you that listen to this tape, you might have thought today that I was trying to say that about myself, that I was packing this message. I have no more to do than nothing, no more than just a voice. And my voice, even against my better judgment. And he says, I wasn't the one that appeared down there. I was only standing there when he appeared. There's hundreds also standing there. I'm not the one that performs these things and foretells these things that happens first as they are. I'm only one that's near when he does it. I was only a voice that he used. So there again, now you've got to watch when Brother Branham, what he's really saying. He's presenting himself to the people, letting them know what's going on. The presence of Almighty God and the prophets, just like there it is right there in the picture. See? He said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they that tell you who I am. See, identification. That was Jesus. See, God manifested, showing himself. They testify who I am. That makes Hebrews 1 now. God in sundry times spake by the prophets, clearly identifying the characteristic now of the resurrection of his son. See? You got a true premise here. Search the Scriptures. Can't be changed. Now, God spoke through God spoke by the prophets then, through His Son now. Okay? The unchangeable God, just let that rest there. The unchangeable God, the same characteristic. The works that I do shall you also. God's known by His identified characteristic. That's how you know. How are you going to know? You're going to have one that has to stand head and shoulders above everybody else. He's got something that nobody else has got. Amen. He's got to have the characteristic of God. That would be the thus saith the Lord, the miracles, the ability to give forth the word. All right. I'm talking about the word made manifest in identifying this life, the characteristics of the promised word for the age. All right. What did he start with? Hebrews 12 and 1 and 1. God in sundry times spake through the prophets. So he's still got to have a man.
Amen.
So God had to become a man. Now, I'm talking about the word made manifest and identifying this life, the characteristics of the promised word for the age. Okay? That's where you find it over here in the book of Matthew, the 12th chapter. Fully identified. He said, but when, that's verse 15, when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. Charged them they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved, whom my soul is well pleased. I'll put my spirit upon him, he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. In other words, he's going to vindicate himself to the Gentiles. Now, at this time, he shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the street. Now, you tell me he didn't strive, didn't cry, didn't preach in the streets? Well, this time he won't do it. This is to the Gentiles. See? Well, so how's he going to do anything for the Gentiles? Send a prophet. That's what throws the Gentiles for a loop. They don't understand this. They just think, well, that speaks to the Holy Spirit coming, and that's great, you know, that's fine. But it says, a bruised reed shall he not break. Now, come on, the Gentiles didn't have anything to break in the first place. They didn't have any smoking flax. Israel did. But this time he says, come out among them, be ye separate. So he doesn't break the reed, and he doesn't quench the little bit of light that's smoking. That's what the Gentiles have. In his name shall the Gentiles trust. Didn't say in him personally as a person. It's the name. One coming in his name. So, all right. The prophet could do all those things, but Jesus couldn't, because this speaks of him coming in the form of the Spirit. And that's what that pillar of fire is. Not Son of Man, that's Son of God. In the form of the fire. Originally, the Old Testament, it was the fatherhood. This is sonship. I've showed you that before from Brother Branagh's teach. All right? I'm talking about the word made manifest, identifying this life, the characteristics of the promised word for the age. This life, what life? The eternal life, which is Christ Jesus. Those Pharisees knew the Bible as good as anybody, better than any of us clergymen know ours today. They had to live by it. Their great-great-grandfather were priests. They studied day and night. They failed to see the identified word. Today, Luther said, when you believe it, you got it. Methodists say, you shout, you got it. Pentecost say, spoken tongues, you had it. We find all that wrong. Some of them said the fruit of the Spirit's got it. That, and it's wrong. The only evidence is when the vindication, when God himself identifies himself in the promised word of the hour, there it is. Now let's watch this very carefully. He's not talking about the baptism with the Holy Ghost. Now, everybody pretty well is going to get drawn away and say, well, now he's talking with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Brother Branham said, you Lutherans only potentially had the Holy Ghost. He said, you Methodists only potentially, you Pentecost only potentially. He was talking about the person. He's talking about the person in this message. And God doesn't have a prophet that gets all scrupled up.
Amen.
He keeps his cards in order, his cue cards in order. See? Now, who had any more fruit of the Spirit than the kind old priest circumcised the children and blessed them and everything else? And here this guy Jesus was come around in anger, beat them, run them out, no identification or nothing. The scriptures is identification. The scripture is his identification. He had no fellowship card, belonged to no organization, but God spoke to him, and that was his identification. All right, now he's talking about today. Now he's talking about what Jesus was back there. Well, they hated him internally. See, my language is very nice when I have to be. Thank you. You've got to be meek and be meek and mild. All right. What's he going to be in this hour manifesting through a prophet? Elijah. The nature and characteristics. Short, bald-headed, fuzzy worm, ruddy, woman-hater. How many times did your brother Ben talk about Elijah that way? He's describing himself. Certainly. There was an identification. That identification was from Matthew 12. A prophet coming on the scene. And when he came, he would restore the bride and bring back the Holy Ghost in a true baptism and a true word. The smoking flax would not be quenched. They'd be trimmed and the oil poured in. He didn't do that with Israel. Mm-mm. Now, Israel was all over. Laws no more. See? Even though under the fifth seal they come in through ignorance, through election. That's how John the Baptist could be full of the Holy Ghost before he's born. Predestination, foreknowledge, election, the whole thing. All right? But God spoke to him that was his identification. Okay? He was in the prophetic word. He was the prophetic word made flesh. We had to be. Because he got to be a prophet. Prophet's not a little goose out here, or a chicken, or a buzzard, or something, or a pretty little deer, or some very fancy gimmick, or something. You're dealing with the frailty of humanity. But this would be virgin born. So that bypassed the frailty. So we have an incubator. Question came up. Did Mary contribute anything to Jesus? Because Brother Branham said she contributed nothing. And one day, I've been preaching her all along that she was a chemical factory. Brother Branham said the same thing, but didn't use the terminology. He said Christ became flesh from the earth through the woman, what was in the earth. See, in other words, everything was there. All he had to do was fed. He fed. Amen. All right. That's the genuine identification of God in any hour is his identification. Well, what he's talking about. God's going to prove who he is, just the way the scripture said. Going to come by a prophet, like it or not. That's it. Check it out. You got the Bible to make positive identification. That's what it is. The scriptures is promised, made identified by the characteristic of the promise, which is God, which is the Word. God on the scene, identifying himself, what was spoken of. Here it is. And the characteristic of that promise being identified, that makes the believer. Without that, you couldn't be a believer. Whew, man, we got the tough one right there. You're not going to get very many people sit around and enjoy that one. I'm a believer, bless God. That's like a fella. I went one time to get an ad in the paper. And they let me have the ad for Brother Branham. And nobody knows who gave me the authority, but they allowed us to print this great big ad. So I went to get another ad for another man. And so what it was, I mentioned, that I had an ad. Well, he said, I don't know how you ever got it. Well, I said, sir, there's a possibility. I said, people need help. And I used some kind of a word, and he misunderstood me. And he said, you blankety blank 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 so and so. You say I'm not a blankety blank blank Christian? That's what he was, all right. Oh, he cussed me out good. I said, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I was laughing inside. Wasn't hard to know who was being fooled. So that makes a believer. Now, if you can't identify or come up with the faith through the understanding of what has been set forth in the Word made manifest, you're not a believer. I like what Brother Harold Marcondo was quoting Brother Branham. And he said, how that Israel believed in God and worshiped God. And a little later on, they had no trouble still believing in God, but not believing in the man that God sent. For where did they believe? Zilch. See, just comes to nothing. Jesus said so, and that settled it. Amen. Well, he said, you believe the works. That's the genuine identification of God in any hour. This is identification. I read this again. That's what it is. The scriptures is promise made identified by the characteristic of the promise, which is God, which is the Word. And the characteristic of that promise being identified. In other words, God manifesting His Word, interpreting by bringing to pass. Here it is right in front of you. And you, as you see, your attention is caught. God has curried your favor by what you're seeing. Now He talks to you through the prophet. You say, hey, that's right. You're a believer. You say, hey, that's wrong. I got my doubts. You're an unbeliever. Or a make-believer or something in between somewhere. Now, we find out the characteristics identifying. And He said, if it doesn't do it, then don't believe me. That's fair enough. Now, Jesus spoke that it would identify Him. And now remember that in these days, these last days, said Hebrews 1:1, God in sundry times, divers manners, spake to the fathers in the prophets, in this last day, has spoke to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. Well, did He? Who wrote the epistles of Paul? Paul. Who gave it to him? Same pillar of fire brought the Word. So what's going to bring the Word now? Same pillar of fire to a prophet. It's not hard to understand Alpha and Omega. And remember, the more you hear Brother Branham, the more you understand Alpha and Omega. See? Identification of God Himself manifested in the same manner as He did aforetime, using the same characteristic. Amen. Hebrews 13:8 says He's the same yesterday, day, and ever, sundry times. So in other words, can't change. His same manner, His same way, same characteristics, everything is the same. Now, you understand right here now that you're dealing in the intrinsic God Himself. See, this is where you're dealing right with God. I don't care how it's coming into view. You're absolutely dealing with God personally. Not just like a sinner coming to God for salvation. This is an end time word. Same manner, same way, same characteristic, everything is the same. God, the unchangeable God, can no more get away from that characteristic than He can get away from His commandments. In other words, He's got to fulfill His Word. He can't get away from His Word, so He can't get away from fulfilling it. That's what He is. He's the Word. He's the Word for the hour. He's the Word when He created the world. What was He? He was the Word. Then He was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. All things are made by Him. That was the Word. When He created man, that was the Word. His attributes. See? In other words, performing. Just He's a performer. When He created Christ, that was God Emmanuel. And when He made Him a Savior, that was His attributes. It's the Word always being identified. The identified Word by the characteristics of God. Notice the manner. He never changes. Look at the three men now. From this point on, and I won't have too much time left, because I'm not going to take too much time. What you're going to look into now is typing for our day through the Scripture. Look at the three men that came to Abraham sitting in his tent that day. We'll look at him there for a few minutes. He had come. He had been called out of the land of Chaldeans, the city of Ur. He had been turned out of his city by the commandments of God. He separated himself from all unbelief. That's the first characteristic of God. Separate yourself from unbelief when He calls a man. Now, that's the first thing you got to do, is to totally accept the way God does things and totally accept what He is doing the way He said He'd do it. And then you know right there you're separated from unbelief. You're ready for anything. Might not understand it, might not, but you'll grow in it. See? Now, and He gave him something, and He gave him something was absolutely, totally impossible to the natural mind to believe it. All right? What are we hearing in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter? Let's see. Verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolish unto him, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. Okay? And he's talking about this hour. He said, Abraham, he was 75 years old, Sarah was 65. That was his half-sister, lived together all these years, no children, said, I'm going to give you a son by Sarah, and he will, by him, I'll make you a father of many nations. Now, he believed it. Okay? This was just before the son, the royal son, Isaac, was to come in mortal form. Before the burning, just after the burning of Sodom, or at this time. Okay, the natural mind is going to be up against something in this hour that it simply cannot take. Time passed. No change in Sarah. See, she was past age. Past menopause, 65. Had done went past it. Abraham, 75. His body's good as dead. Her womb was good as dead. Abraham never staggered the promise of God through unbelief. He kept believing because God said it and he was persuaded. If God said it, his characteristic will produce what he said. In other words, he can't help producing the word. There's just no two ways. You know, just like a chicken is going to lay eggs, that's the way it's going to be. Your dandelions come up, just sure as you're alive, and they'll bloom and they'll spread millions of dandelions around the place. Now, we're supposed to be children of Abraham, the seed of Abraham. On 25 years lapsed. No difference in Sarah, nothing. Only she was older. Stooped down, he also. But still Abraham believed it. One day when God saw his servant was determined to be an example for people today, the people of today, and through him he was going to bless the nations. One hot morning about 11 o'clock, three men came walking up to him. They talked to him. He invited them to sit down. There was something about them that seemed different from men. Spiritual things are understood by spiritual things. Notice, they came up and sat down. Abraham looked them over and said, my Lord, and each one person, just he addressed them, one person, my Lord, not my Lord, you know, not Father, Son, Holy Ghost. What must he do? Two of them went down and preached in Sodom, which is a modern testimony today. Do you think people are going to believe this? You think that, those three are going to type three men in the world today? There's your three classes. Sodom, the church, and there's your three classes of people. Sodom and the church down in Sodom. Abraham, the elected, is not in Sodom. Two messengers, a modern Billy Graham. Remember, all these messengers to the church. There's never been a man went out of that church nominal out there ending his name with H-A-M before. Well, there's a man. Isn't it funny a bit more that Billy Graham was saved under Mordecai a Ham? Yeah. Mordecai a Ham was the preacher. Met him once. Very fine man. Guess he's been dead for many years now. Saved on Billy Graham, saved under Mordecai a Ham. Interesting. Ben Finney, Sankey, Knox, Calvin, so forth, Billy Sunday, everything else but Graham. G-R-A-H-A-M. Ending with H-A-M, which means Father of Nations. There he went down there preaching. Look at the hour. There's your make-believer, unbelievers, and believers. These three men came. Well, where's your third one? He's only speaking of Billy Graham and Oral Roberts. Oral Roberts amongst the people preaching and the setting Jesus referred to. As he said, like in Sodom and Gomorrah, that would be the end time. Now, what Brother Branham is doing here is setting you up to understand that he's got seven letters and three names, William, Mary, and Branham. All seven. All got seven. And remember, his name was changed to get the seven letters. Bringing Abraham, representing God. Notice the elect was coming on, sitting on the outside up there, here Abraham and his group. And when this man that stayed with Abraham watched him, he displayed the characteristic of God, for he said, where is Sarah? Her name was Sarai the day before. Now it's Sarah, S-A-R-A-H. Abraham, where is thy wife Sarah? And he said, she's in the tent behind you. And he said, I'm going to visit you. Then Abraham listened to that speech. I'm going to visit you according to the time of light. And Sarah laughed as it was up her sleeve to herself and said, me old and my Lord old, that we shall have pleasure again like young men and women. As far as human relationship perhaps has passed many years, me, and she laughed. You notice in here, Brother Branham, in a roundabout way, repeats what he's always repeated, that children are never born without sexual desire. That's how they come. She brings the thought in herself. And the man looking at Abraham, Sarah in the tent behind her, said, "Why did Sarah laugh, saying, how can these things be?" He identified himself. Now, you know, that's pretty corny when you realize that even a familiar spirit could do that. But you know what these people forget is a familiar spirit can't come and say, "Thus saith the Lord." I don't care if he can pick everything out of the fishbowl 100%. Let him just try to use the name in the name of the Lord one time, see where he gets off at. Just the same as Brother Branham blew that blue light in the seance. He said, "I come to you in the name of the Holy Catholic Church, in the name of Mary, in the name of this, the name of God, this and that." He sort of said the name of Jesus. That way, bing, went out. Watch those blue lights in the wrong places. He identified himself. He said, "That's kind of a poor identification." But that human mind doesn't go for it. See? Abraham called him Elohim. And that's the last sign the church gets, you know? That sign, that simple little sign. The sign of the Messiah. Oh, they said, there's bigger signs than that. Well, sure. The great healing ministry was leading up to that little sign that people think is so little. Sort of caught the cart before the horse. They figured God messed up, boo-booed, and got messed up somehow. No? He's not messed up at all. He just brings you right down to see if you're a believer or not. Now, this is a sign right there. Get people looking for mighty signs and this and that and the other thing, and they're wandering around. The church has had its last sign. He said the church has. The bride's had its last sign, too, because she's got the word. She doesn't need signs, although God's in her midst to work wondrously if she believes. Jesus said in Luke 17, chapter, when the last days, God and sundry times, speaking by the prophets, in the last days by his Son. Now, he's talking about when the Son of Man is revealed, he's going to be a prophet. Now watch. In time when the Son of Man is being revealed, revealed, made known in these last days before the end time, when the Son of Man is being revealed, this setting of Sodom will return again. All right, now he said the pillar of fire is not the Son of Man. What is that? That's God in sonship. The prophet is not the Son of Man. It's in the form of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit working in a prophet, playing the role. God's got to have a prophet. So what do you got? You got a man that's dealt with by Almighty God, so he can speak face to face to bring the word to the people. As it was in the days of Sodom, it'll be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man, when he's being revealed, made known to the church, to the elect, not Sodom, not Sodomites, or the ones in Sodom, to the elected. Abraham was elected. The royal seed of Abraham is the believers, through Christ Jesus the Word, and is elected. And when the Son of Man is being revealed, that setting would be again. Prophet and two angels going down to Sodom and Gomorrah. God with Abraham, definitively speaking of the coming of the Son in human form, and the world will burn before it. So the world's getting ready to burn. Look at the world today. If it ain't a Sodom and Gomorrah, I never seen one. Sodom and Gomorrah. Look at the church. Like Lot sitting there and grieving his righteous soul, as he saw the sins of Sodom. Many a minister, a fine man sitting in his study, getting up his text and so forth, look out in the street and seeing women with shorts on, immorality and things going on like that, he can't say nothing about it. His organization would put him out. Lot didn't have the audacity to stand up for that which was right. So is the modern Sodom and Gomorrah today. But there are some of those who are outside of Sodom that are born out there, not by the will of man, but by the will of God and the seed of God. Watch the identification, not just the preaching, but the sign identified the word of God made flesh in a man. The setting returns back just as it was, and it's exactly that day. Everything is perfect. Everything's sitting right in line. Wish we had time to continue a few minutes, but we haven't, so we'll hurry. The setting is to be replaced again in the last days. Hebrews 1:1, God in sundry times by the prophets identifies himself. See, every time he goes there, he said, you won't get one identification from God outside of me, and you'll get the word after that. Now, they don't like that. God's going to do it how? Through the prophet. Watch the characteristic of God. Picked up a handful of dust, threw it in the air, turned to fleece. The creative characteristic of God is in Moses. Moses spoke the word. William Branham spoke the word. Squirrels came. Moses spoke in Deuteronomy 18:15, said, the Lord your God raised up a prophet like unto me. Now watch the word again, characteristic. God speaking through Moses, telling them that the Lord would raise up one like him. Now notice how Jesus' characteristic identified him to be this promised word. When Moses said it would be, the character of Jesus identified it. Notice now, the Lord your God, that's God, that's the word, shall raise up a prophet like unto me. Whoever won't believe that that prophet will be cut off from among the people. I preached that way, way, way back. Out of Acts, the third chapter. See? Whoever won't believe that prophet will be cut off among the people. Again, that word is utterly cut off, and that's the same as in Malachi, not like before. See? Because the bruised reed, when he restores the bruised reed, giving your life back and resilience, pliability, and the oil, the light to the spirit. See? They won't be cut off. All the rest utterly cut off. That's why the earth burns. See? Same as it says in Malachi. Now watch. When Jesus came, then what kind of characteristic was he to have? Notice now the promised word. He was promised to be a prophet like Moses. Now, they had all kinds of teachers, all kinds of rabbis. They hadn't had a prophet for 400 years, since Malachi. All at once, here comes a man on the scene. Now, there was a fisherman, two of them, sons of a man. And one of them, his name is Andrew, the other's name is Simon. And they had been told by their father how to watch in the days. There had been lots of false things raised up. The old man, I read a little book one time where it might have been fiction, I don't know, but that he said, sons, now just before the coming Messiah, as we're all looking for, there'll be a time where there'll be all kinds of things happening. But the way you'll know this Messiah, it'll be according to Scripture, he will be a prophet, because the Word of God said he is a prophet. That's a great thing to remember, the characteristic of God, and his identification, one is a prophet. That's a big thing to watch for. Because that's what concerns us. We can't get there any other way. Andrew heard John. Well, only thing John was doing was just prophesying. That's John the Baptist. You know, Jesus said you did walk in John's light, but I have a greater light than John. I have a greater identification than John. For the works the Father gave me to do, they testify of me. John just preached. He just forerun. He didn't do any miracles or any characteristics of God for the promise. Now, that lets you know there's a promise then of the same one in the form of the Holy Spirit to come back to the Gentiles, of whom the Methodists and all the rest potentially had. They are full of the Holy Ghost, but the only potential. We have reality.
Amen.
So he came down to set himself head of the church and raise the dead. But here comes Jesus with the characteristics. He said, what about today then, you see? God is once more in human flesh in the role of a prophet. In other words, working to prophet. All right, we put in about 50 minutes, 45 minutes, about 50 minutes or so. That's as far as we'll go at this point. Then, and don't forget Sunday service, 10 o'clock with Brother Brian. And I don't know how long I'm going to be able to hold up the way I feel these days. So I sure covet your prayers, as I haven't for a long, long time. I just came tonight to our little study here, but it's pretty rough. So let's rise at this time, shall we? Gracious Heavenly Father, we do praise and thank you again for love, mercy, and grace that you've bestowed upon us, that we should know the things of God in this hour. So clearly identified, and Lord, we say again with Brother Brand, if we're not bride, there's a bride out there somewhere. We know, Lord, that you have identified yourself. You've done what you said. Everything is exactly right and in order. We pray, Heavenly Father, gracious God of creation, God of humanity, great God of all, God over all gods, over all spirits, over all everything. Nothing, Lord, that was made but you made it. We know that you have visited your people, and we have the understanding given to us how it was done. And we know that you're here to lead us into the millennium, to raise the dead, even as you called out a bride. You brought us this word, Lord. You turned the hearts back to the fathers. All these things, Lord, you've done, and we're grateful. We thank you for it. And Lord God, we know that if we don't make it, somebody's going to make it, because there's a foreknown, elected, predestinated people right in this hour. Very few, perhaps, that'll be standing right here to be caught, to be changed, immortal, and caught up. Perhaps there'll be a great number pass on, as we see so many passing on, and we know that's fine. We know, Lord, there is a promise in this hour that some are not going to die. The promise is to live. He that liveth and believeth in me shall never perish. We believe that, Lord. We believe it's for somebody. There's a people. And so we thank you, Lord, that we know this. And knowing this, Lord, we believe that we are believers, because that's what the prophet said. So here your believers are tonight, Lord, holding up their hearts to you, holding up their lives to you, and saying, we believe. We do believe. Help our any unbelief, O God.
Yes.
Help us to clean everything out. Total separation. Get rid of everything that might hinder. Father, just take your word, which we do. And we're grateful for this opportunity. Bless each one tonight, we pray, O God. And never let us, as the prophet said, forget. The atonement is for healing. O God, that blood atones for sickness. So, Father, we accept the mercy for our souls and for our spirits and for our bodies. We accept it all. And, Lord God, may it be manifested. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. All right, shall we go take the name of Jesus?